Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton. Tonight, we've got the fabulous Buffy Ford Stewart is joining us again. And we had her on for, actually, I think this is her third visit. And we had her on for Veterans Day. And no, not Veterans Day. We had her on for JFK's assassination remembrance. And tonight, not three, two. So before we get started, let's just say that I hope everybody's well. I hope everybody had a nice holiday, safe, distanced, and enjoyed their families with the limitations, whatever we had to do. Thank you to our sponsors, the High Bar and Bistro, Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Oakland Harbor, New Jersey, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, The Observer Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, GenieBottles.com, and two new members to our family, Cloisen Designs in New Jersey and Think Big Picture in New York. So on the phone with me is Buffy Ford Stewart. How are you today, Buffy?
Hi, Joanne. I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, it's so good to be here with you. Yeah, I'm so glad you could come back. This is the second time, not third, right?
It's the second, yes.
Right. I was thinking that you were on with Rick when we did the Veterans Day, but it was actually a group from Hawaii that came on with their song, I'm an American, yeah. So.
Oh, wow, I missed that.
Yeah, that was a great song, too. It was really good. So, you do have a nice holiday, as much as we can make it nice?
It was wonderful. I was just here with my niece and her four-month-old baby.
Nice.
And her mother, and it was just us. You know, holidays now are very sort of sad, well, actually very sad that we can't be with everybody.
Right.
So I couldn't be with my son and his new wife and all of my family who are in Southern California, my beautiful grandchildren and my beautiful children who live there. But we Zoomed, we talked on the phone.
Nice.
And it's just, you know, holidays are always hard anyway, but now they're even harder. And so many of us have lost friends and family members. And so we have to be smart. And so we had a very sweet Thanksgiving and just sat around. We watched Little Women.
That was
very sweet. Yeah.
The original or the remake?
No, the original. I love the original.
Yeah, me too.
There's nothing like the original of all of those old
of everything,
shows.
Of everything.
I don't know why they have to remake the originals, you know.
I know. They ruin everything.
Yeah, they do. They just ruin it. Why do they have to do that? So it was very sweet. And but, you know, I always will miss John. And so I missed seeing my son, but it was sweet. And right now I'm with my dog, Lucy, and my kitty are right here with me. So anyway, and you, what about your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was okay. We originally, you know, of course, we're going back and forth. What do we do? So I said, well, why don't we just make dinner and have plates ready and have people come by. and take the plates and go to their home, or if the weather is nice, maybe we could all sit in the backyard. But the weather wound up breaking, so we were able to sit in the backyard. I gave everybody had a tong with their name on it, and they had to hold it for the day and use it to touch everything. So no one touched anything that other people touched, and everybody wore a mask when needed, and nobody was near each other. So it turned out to be okay. It was different, but it was okay.
Well, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everything is different now, isn't
it? Yeah, I know.
So we just have to accept it and accommodate and get used to it. And
yeah, exactly. It's not a big deal. So,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
To wear a mask and do the right thing. So
that's right.
Well, let's get on to you here. Now, before you met John, guys that don't know, Buffy is married to singer-songwriter John Stewart from the Kingston Trio. And then Buffy and John did a stint together as well as a musical team. Now,
we were a duo for a while, and then John had a 45-year career after he left the trio.
Mm.
So, he's written God knows how many songs.
Right.
2,000 songs or more after he left the trio. And that really is the reason he wanted to leave, is because he was writing different types of songs. And when he met me, he was interviewing, auditioning girls from all over the world. And so I was very lucky that I was the one that got to sing with him.
Right.
And I was really on my way to Broadway when I met John. That's
right.
I was on my way to New York.
And we also touched on last time you were here, I didn't want to go too far into it because I wanted to talk to about it tonight, was that you were slated to be in Jefferson Airplane before you met John.
Yeah, it was. I was rehearsing with them and rehearsing with John at the same time. And then, of course, I made my decision, the right one,
yeah,
to be with John. Yeah. And so that's how it was, and that's how it was meant to be.
Mm.
And it was a perfect decision for me. And so that's how it all went. And,
right.
God knows what it would have been like if I had made the other choice. So anyway.
Right. Well, I did want to ask you, why did John use Stevie Nicks on Gold and not you? Why didn't you do that part?
Well, I think at that time,
he was extremely popular at the time, yes.
Well, yeah, and also I had just had a baby.
Okay.
Yeah, and so Luke was a baby, and I wasn't really, and Stevie was very popular. You know,
right.
Stevie Nicks. It was all about Stevie and,
yeah,
you know, Fleetwood Mac, and Lindsey Buckingham was a very good friend of John's, and also a huge fan of John's, and you know, Lindsey plays the guitar like a banjo.
Oh, and you know, when he plays, you can't believe he's playing, because you look at the way he plays, you're like, is he really playing? I mean, he plays very differently than most guitarists.
Yeah, and every time he would get together with John, John would say, oh my God, Lindsey, the way you play guitar. And he said, well, John, you taught me how to play.
Oh.
I learned to play from you. And the reason he plays so differently and so amazingly well is because he plays guitar like a banjo.
Yeah, he plucks at it.
Yeah, I mean, nobody plays like Lindsey, and nobody can sing like Lindsey used to sing. And God bless Lindsey. You know, he's been through a lot. You know, he had that stroke and heart thing and lost his voice, and now he's coming back, and I just posted something on my Facebook page with Lindsey playing guitar, and he's starting to sing again, and God bless him. You know, he's a great guy and a great friend, and he sang at John's memorial, and just, John's memorial was a beautiful, beautiful event. It went on for like 4 hours.
Wow.
And at the end, I remember Lindsey calling me and saying, Buffy, I have never, ever been to an evening like that where there were absolutely no egos. Spirit of John was shining through in everybody who performed. absolutely no egos at all. And he said it could have gone on forever. It could have gone on all night, and mm-hmm. everybody would have been right there. It was just a magnificent night. I've never been to a night like that. Mm. And he called me several times to say that. And it was a beautiful night. It was just, we had the best performers, and John Glenn sent this beautiful, beautiful message, and Roseanne Cass, and we had the John Stewart Band, and we had Bill Mumy, and Nick Reynolds was there, and all the children were there, and it was just Timothy B. Schmidt. This is sort of a funny story, because I had never met Timothy B. Schmidt, but I had a dream that I should call Timothy B. Schmidt.
Mm.
I had never met him, and I didn't even know his number, so I called a friend of mine, Gus Russo, who is the guy you call if you need a number from anybody.
Mm.
I called Gus, and I said, I had a dream that I should call Timothy B. Schmidt.
Right.
I said, I need his number. So he got his number, and I called him up. Hello, this is Buffy Ford Stewart. Mm-hmm. Is Timothy there? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's Buffy Ford Stewart. I said, yeah? Is this Timothy? No, but I'll get him. Timothy. And so Timothy came to the phone, and I said, I wanted to ask if you would sing at John Stewart's memorial.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Yes, I'll sing Chilly Winds. I said, really? Yes. And I said, wow, great. And will you also introduce Nick Reynolds? And there was a big silence. And he said, oh, I don't think I could. You don't understand. I was Nick Reynolds. I had a group when I was in high school, and I was Nick Reynolds. I dressed like him, and I wore his shoes. And I'd be too afraid to do that. I said, oh, come on. Nick is like he's a baby. He'll hug you and kiss you, and he's just wonderful. He'll just embrace you. Well, anyway, at the end, when we actually got there and I introduced them, it was so warm and wonderful. Nick just gave him a wet kiss on the lips, I think, and made it all okay. And he did introduce him, and it was great. But it's so funny how things happen and people connect and things all come together like that.
Well, look at us. That's how we came together, too. So, you know,
that's right.
Yeah. I think Timothy B. Schmidt, I think he sang on your Same Old Heart album, no? Or performed on there, no?
Yes, he did.
Nice.
He sang Same Old Heart with me. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. He's now, you know, in one of the biggest groups in the world, the Eagles.
Yeah.
And still just a wonderful, wonderful guy, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't act like a star at all.
Right.
Just a real kind human being. And
just loving what he does, that's all.
Yeah, that's it. It's rare to see that.
Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely right. Now, you sent me like 30 songs here. I'm kidding. You sent me a plethora, that's for sure, of songs. But no, they're all great. But I wanted to ask you which one you would like us to talk about first or play first. I was wondering if we could maybe touch on Daydream Believer and maybe go from there.
Well, you know, we always talk about Daydream Believer, and I'll talk about, John, when Chip Douglas, the producer of the Monkees, when he came to John looking for a song for the Monkees, and John said, I think I have a song that might be good for the Monkees. And Chip said, oh, yeah, what song is that? And he said, well, I'll play it for you. So he played in Daydream Believer. And Chip said, oh, wow, yeah, I think that's a perfect song for the Monkees. So he said, let me take it and see what they think. And so Chip came back and said, John, they love the song, but there's just one thing.
Hmm.
And John said, yeah, what's that? Well, the record company, they're not going to let the Monkees sing funky. What? Because the original lyrics were, now you know how funky I can be.
Right.
Not
right.
How now you know how happy I can be.
Right.
And so John said, what? That doesn't make any sense. That changes the meaning of the entire song.
Mm.
And Chip said, well, John, you know, if they they can't sing happy, well, they can't do the song.
I wonder
John
if
was,
came, I wonder
yeah,
if
no,
it,
so John was kind of quiet for a minute, and he said, well, you know, Chip, happy's sounding pretty damn good to me right now.
Starting to sound better. I wonder if they changed their mind on funky because maybe Davey sounded a little not as how we would sound if we said it, since we're American and he's British. Maybe funky came off kind of funny.
No, it was the record company. It wouldn't let the monkeys sing funky. So then when I hooked up with Davey and I was going to record Daydream Believer, and I called up Davey and I said, hey, Davey, I'm going to record Daydream Believer, and I want you to sing it with me. Oh, I'd love to do it. Oh, this will be fun. This will be fun. Mm. So we did it in Sausalito. I said, but there's one thing, Davey. You know, you've been singing the wrong lyrics.
Right.
What?
Oh,
what
he didn't even know. Okay.
Mm. I've been And I told him it was funky. And so in the recording studio, it was really funny. He said, well, I've been singing happy for 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, guess what? You're going to be singing funky tonight. And you're also going to be singing harmony tonight. Oh,
yeah,
I sung harmony on this song. I said, well, tonight you're going to be singing harmony. And so anyway, it was really a fun recording. We did it. And then we invited Peter Tork to sing with Davey, and he played piano on it. And we also invited some other friends. And so anyway, it was kind of fun.
Yeah,
but,
late night.
But,
I have a surprise for you. I think we have a caller. You want to speak to a caller?
Oh, yeah, who?
Hang on one sec. Let's see who we got calling us here. Hi, welcome to Applause Radio Show. You're on with Buffy Ford Stewart. Do you have a question?
Yeah, hi. I had a question for Buffy. And, you know, I've been a songwriter for, you know, almost 50 years.
Is this Rick Ryan?
I was just going to say, this voice sounds very familiar to me.
Hi, Rick.
How you doing,
hi,
Buffy?
Rick.
How you doing?
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
Go ahead. What's your question, honey? Go ahead.
Hey, Buffy, we've gone over this before, but I'll just say it. My biggest influences were John and Bob Dylan. Did you and John have much contact with Bob through the years?
You're so funny.
You know what I'm driving at.
Yeah, I had a little bit. Well, when I had the first contact I had with Bob Dylan, we lived around the corner from him in Malibu, and I didn't even know he lived around the corner from us until our friend who did treatments with him told us that he asked where we lived. Mm-hmm. And he said, really? They live there? And she said, yeah, they live right around the corner. Well, what's the address? He would say. And so told him the address, really. So then when I had my first brain surgery and I was paralyzed for a year, actually, I got the most beautiful email from Bob Dylan. I need to find that. It's in a bag somewhere in storage. And it was just the sweetest email telling me that he hoped I, you know, regain my strength and la-di-da-di-da. I wish I could remember all the words he put in this email, but I will find it. And then he was doing a concert with the band, and John was on the road. And John said, oh, my God, I wish I could go, but, honey, you can go. He got tickets for you to go.
Mm.
And so he hooked me up with tape so that I could record it. So I had a tape recorder hooked underneath my clothes. And I actually got through the line, and they didn't get it. They didn't know that I had tape. I was
You were bootlegging? You were bootlegging?
Yeah. I was.
Oh, my.
So afterwards, we went backstage, and then Bob asked if I was with my friend Christine Delisle. And then we were invited to go to breakfast with him. And so we said, sure. So we went to breakfast with Bob Dylan. And I can't remember where it was we went, but anyway, he asked me to sit next to him and asked me what I wanted. I said, well, what are you going to have? He said, scrambled eggs. I said, that's what I want. And my friend said, yeah, me too. And so scrambled eggs came and had scrambled eggs. And he ordered more scrambled eggs and wanted me to ask me if I wanted more. And I said, no, no, no. Just, I'll have a waffle, though.
Oh my
friend said, make it three.
Oh, God.
So I think he had a couple more orders of scrambled eggs. And and then it was just time to go. And then that was our visit with scrambled eggs and Bob Dylan.
Wow. So you never wrote together or anything? It was just a nice acquaintance.
What about the Kingston Trio? Wasn't Dylan into the Kingston Trio? Or?
Oh, he was a huge fan. And there's a story that before Bob Dylan was really famous, he was stopped by a cop. And the cop said, you know, give me your license. He said, oh, no. I'm a singer, you know, like Jon Stewart and the Kingston Trio. Hmm. Yeah, I'm a singer. I'm a folk singer. And it's actually written in a book that he actually said those words.
Really?
I'm like Jon Stewart of the Kingston Trio. Hmm. And so I know that he was a fan. And there's another story, too. We were playing the troubadour, and somebody came up and said, Bob Dylan wants you to come to this party afterwards over at, I can't remember the name of the house. But anyway, we were late. We got there and we heard piano music, and obviously it was Joni Mitchell playing the piano. Mm. And so we waited for her to finish, and then we knocked on the door, and everybody in the room was stoned, and Bob Dylan had left. We were late, and Jack Nicholson was in there, Joni Mitchell, just a whole bunch of people. But Bob Dylan had left. And so we sat there, and everybody was just stoned out of their brains. And so John said, oh, gosh, honey, you know, boy, it's getting late. We've got places to go and people to see. I said, oh, yeah, gosh, thanks for this. This has been great. Well, got to go. See you guys later. Well, that was our night without Bob Dylan. We missed him, but anyway, that would have been fun.
Yeah, interesting night. One of many interesting nights, I'm sure, that you guys had in your long career and marriage, I'm sure, and your creativity working together. And that's got to be a beautiful thing, working with the person you love. I mean, the love songs that must have came out between you guys, and I know you loved him dearly, and the songs that you've written, I would say the majority of them, in my opinion, the majority of them are written for him. Is that my opinion? Am I correct?
Well, yeah. When I first started writing my songs, I wasn't even planning to do an album at all. And then I was asked to do a record, and I had been grieving. I'd been in bed. I'd been bedridden. We had to move out of the big house, and I moved to San Anselmo. And I was really in bed for like 3 months.
Wow.
And it was when Whitney Houston had just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to Larry King on TV. And I always had a notebook by my bed. And Larry King said, you know, we're all just living on borrowed time. And it just really did something to me. We're all just living on borrowed time. And here I was in bed grieving for John. And I wrote that down in my notebook. And, you know, John and I have a guru, Swami Satchitananda, and I just heard this voice in my head that said, get out of bed. You're not dead.
Right.
You're not dead.
Right.
And I just, after hearing Houston dying and Larry King saying we're all living on borrowed time, I thought, Jesus, Buffy, get up, get out of bed. You're not dead.
Right.
And I went right to my guitar, and I wrote a song that said, get up, get out of bed, you're not dead. It's called Find My Shoes, Find Your Shoes.
Oh,
I
wow.
didn't send it to you. I wish
no.
I had.
Well, you sent me everything but the kitchen sink. Why didn't you send that one?
I know. I wish I'd sent that
song.
I'm
only kidding.
That is the song that got me out of bed.
Good. And got you back into writing and being yourself again. That's great.
Yeah,
that's
and then
great.
I wrote just a ton of songs about John.
Right.
You know, I Will Always See You There. And well, no, actually, I did send you a song, I Will Always See You There. And that's a song I wrote when my brother went to heaven. And I wrote that song in about 5 minutes.
Mm.
It just came out of me. My brother Mark lived with us. And after Johnny went to the stars, Mark was sort of my angel who lived with me, took care of me, and was there. And then, you know, he went to heaven and he had lung cancer. And so losing him after Johnny was just really tough. So I wrote that song, and it could be about John. It could be about my father. It could be about any one of us
who's lost
who always thinks about somebody who you will always see sitting in that chair.
Right.
And so many people really identify with the song. So you can play that song.
Yeah, let's play that one. Rick, I don't know if you want to hang out to listen to the song or if you had another question before we play the song for Buffy.
I want to hear the song.
All right, hang on, folks. This is
play the
I
song.
Will Always See You. I Will Always See You. Check it out.
I Will Always See You There.
Yes, I'll always see you there.
They say we pass this day.
Reminding me of every time Biden says, "I know what it's like to have that empty chair," and this year specifically, everybody having that empty chair.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, we all really, had an empty chair.
Yeah, really sweet.
And that was my beautiful niece, who is the daughter of my brother, playing the fiddle, playing the violin.
I was going to ask if he was playing the banjo, actually.
I think that was Mark Stanley playing the banjo on that.
Yeah.
My friend Mark Stanley and Noelle, who is living with me now with her new baby, who's 4 months old, Maxim, and my brother is the grandfather. And I just always look at Maxim and I see my brother Mark in his eyes.
Yeah.
And Noelle is a beautiful musician. And like all of us now, you know, we're all struggling, all artists.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that the listeners for Christmas gifts buy music and books and really support artists this Christmas, because music really feeds the souls and the spirits and the hearts of all of us now.
Right.
It's really music that lifts us. And John Stewart music, especially, is, you know, his music has always lit of all of us. And so anyway, I just had to say that.
Yeah, it's very, very nice. Very nice. I really enjoyed it. And like I said, all I kept thinking of was, you know, every time Biden says that it's true, you know, how many empty chairs are there now, you know, and it's like it didn't have to be. And the song is just so touching, too. I mean,
yeah.
For anyone who's lost anyone, for any, not recently or whatever. I mean, I just don't, I'm not talking about.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And now more than ever, Joanne.
Right, exactly.
I mean, now more than ever, the hospitals are overflowing, and they don't have enough nurses and doctors to take care of these people. I mean, we are in COVID hell.
Yeah.
And the people who don't believe it, I mean, unless it hits you personally, you don't believe it, and it's like guns. Yeah. And I just saw a horrible thing on Facebook, and I guess it makes me cry, really. They had taken some of the comments down because a hunter had killed a family dog because the dog had heard a shot, and he had gone closer to the hunter, you know, wanting some love, and he was barking and looking for some love. And the hunter shot this family dog, and it was the saddest thing. And, I mean, guns. When are we ever going to get rid of guns? Mm. I mean, what's the deal with guns in America? We have become the most dangerous country. Never before did we worry about guns. I mean, we didn't worry that people were going to carry guns, and if you honked your horn, they'd shoot you. I mean, it's like, my gosh, it's just a scary, scary place now.
I know. Well, I wanted to ask you, without going to a place where, unfortunately, we're living it, we don't need to dwell on it, but I want to talk about your music, because... Now, the title, you said, what is the title of the song we just heard? Because the title I got was Always See You. And what'd you say the full title is?
I Will Always See You There.
I Will Always See You There.
Right, yeah.
The title I got was Always See You in the email, so that's why I didn't know the actual
title. Oh, no, that's okay. Yeah, I Will Always See You There.
Now, Once Upon a Time, what is that about?
That's a song I wrote really
about.
Oh,
no, no.
My-
I didn't get Once Upon a Time. I'm sorry. The Wagner's Lad. That's what I wanted to ask. That's the one
you
did with John.
Oh, Wagner's Lad.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
the one you did with John.
Yeah, we. That song is the first. It's a song about women's lib. It's
oh,
an
really?
old song, and really the first song that was ever written about women's liberation.
Mm.
And we sang this at the old Sweetwater in Mill Valley. John and I loved that club, the original Sweetwater that was in Mill Valley. We used to sing there all the time, and it was just the warmest little club, and we had so many fans who loved to go there and hang out, and we loved singing there. So anyway, that's what the song's about, and
Well, I'd love to play that one, too, because all your songs are apropos of what's going on right now.
And
that's,
here
that's
we
what,
are with a
right.
woman,
our that's
beautiful
why,
Kamala. Oh, my
right.
goodness.
That's why I wanted to jump into the next song, because we're on that subject. So
I just want to talk a little bit about Kamala before we go in. And
how
beautiful she was, all dressed in white, when she gave that beautiful speech and inspired so many women and little girls of every color, and so many women. And here she is, vice president, and one day I know she will be president. One day I think she will.
You may be right. I mean, I fell in love with her when they were doing the debates, when there was like 20 million candidates, when they were going through the debates.
So did
president.
I, Joanne.
And I never heard of her before. And I watched one night, and the night I tuned in, the question was something to the effect of, do you blame President Trump for killing people with these mass shootings? And her answer was just so on the money and on point. She said, no, I don't blame him because he didn't pull the trigger, but he gave him the ammunition. I mean, what a line.
Oh, she's brilliant.
You know?
She's brilliant like
and
that.
That day I said, you know what? If she gets that close to be the president running in the nominations, I'm going to vote for her. But she became vice president, so there you go.
Absolutely. And I fell in love with her when she stood up for Christine Ford and when she put Judge Kavanaugh in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
With her
yeah.
questioning.
Yeah.
That's when I became the biggest fan of hers, and I've loved her ever since.
Yeah.
And I loved her little tete-a-tete with Biden when she was running for president. And I really do believe that is the reason, one of the reasons he picked her, because he saw how strong she was and how great she was at debating.
Right, right. And her beliefs, too. I mean, you know, it's same as all of ours. Well, most of ours, anyway. Let's check this out. The Wagoner's Lad, and it's women's lib, and not that we need to fight for women's lib, but we're still not doing so great, women. So let's get us over the hump there with the women. Here you go, the Wagoner's Lad.
Okay.
This is an old folk song that I found in a folk band when I was with the Kingston Trio. We did it 4-4 time, but we're going back to the original 3-4. I think anybody cares. Really fun. Let me write that down. This song is over 100 years old, and I think probably the first women's lib song ever written.
They're always controlled.
Together, the beautiful voices together, the harmony. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, and that was a live performance, so the sound wasn't really that great. Yeah,
no, but you could hear the vote. You could hear your voice, you know.
Well, thanks, Joanne. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But Rick, did you have anything else for Buffy?
Yeah, hi Buffy. What was the first John song John ever wrote? Do you know? The
we
first
didn't
song
hear
John
you.
Ever
didn't
wrote.
Hear the...
No, what's the first song John ever wrote? And by the way, I thought your music was immaculately beautiful. So I have to say that first. But
oh, thank you. One of the first songs he ever wrote was something about a rooster, and then something about Boogie Head Boogie or something. I can't remember. It was when he was real little. Yeah. I mean, when he was real little, he listened to the radio all the time, and he started writing songs. And Shrunken Head Boogie, that was it. Shrunken Head Boogie. And something about a rooster, a little red rooster, so I can't remember the title right now. Yeah. But yeah, so, and then, you know, after he heard President Kennedy's inaugural address, he wrote Children of the New Frontier, and that's when he really started writing a lot of songs about democracy and
Americana.
Yeah, exactly. And and to a lot of people, John is really, they really call him the father of Americana. And I'll never forget a conversation I had with Pete Seeger. It was the sweetest conversation because we were doing, getting ready to do the Kingston Trio museums. And so we wanted to get an interview with Pete Seeger, and everybody in the group was afraid to call him, and I said, I'll call him. So I called, and he answered, hello, and I said, hi Pete, this is Buffy Ford Stewart. Well, hello. And it was almost like everything he said was like a song. And I said, I'm calling because we're doing interviews for the Kingston Trio Museum that we're doing. And he said, well, I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I can remember every song that John Stewart played in the Kingston Trio. And I said, oh, that's great. I said, so will you do an interview? I'd love to. And then he started talking about he was getting ready to have, he and his wife were getting ready to have hip replacements. And I said, oh, I've had two. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And so anyway, we had the sweetest conversation. But he was talking about how much he loved John Stewart's banjo playing. And that was just a wonderful thing to hear Pete Seeger say, that he loved John Stewart's banjo playing in the Kingston Trio. And I will always remember that. And
What was the other question, Rick?
No, that was about
I thought it was a two-parter.
Well, something about I knew that there was a connection between John and JFK, but did he ever meet him? Or? No.
He did. He met President Kennedy in the White House, in the Oval Office, and President Kennedy gave him his tie clip off of his tie, which I have framed with a beautiful sketch that he did of President Kennedy, and it was in the museum. And I'm hoping that that will go either into the Smithsonian Museum or to one of the Kennedy children, probably Courtney, who I feel is like a little sister to me. I just adore her. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful sketch. And I'm going to actually put it on Facebook a little bit later.
Oh, nice. Well, if anybody ever wondered what kind of music the Kennedys were into in the 60s, it was folk music. So cool.
They loved Kingston Trio music. Kennedys played Kingston Trio music all the time. Bethel was always asking for John to play Kingston Trio music.
Well, Rick, I don't know if you have anything else for Buffy. If not, we're going to continue
on. I'm just wondering if you, Buffy, if you look upon President Kennedy's inaugural address as a turning point, a definite turning point in John's life,
complete.
In terms of his writing.
Complete. He grew up in a Republican house, and when he heard that speech, it turned him around. Completely turned him around. John is and he is a complete patriot of the truest kind. He loves America. I mean, look at all the songs he's written. I remember America, Mother Country, all the songs that he's written. He loves humanity. John Stewart sang to the common people. He has friends who are Republicans, who are Democrats, who are gay, who are straight, who are black, who are white, of every color, every race. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter. And it didn't matter to John. John loves humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a gentle, gentle man who could cry at the... He was the most sensitive, beautiful man who was so wise. He was like an angel. I really do believe that John was an archangel, and he was brought here to give a beautiful message to lift our hearts and spirits.
Yeah,
he didn't have any.
What was his writing? I'm sorry, forgive me.
What was his writing? What did you say?
No, his writing process. You know, did he disappear into a room, or did he have a certain place to write, or? Did he start with the music, or did he start with the lyrics?
No.
Or, you know, all that.
He was always there. There was no process. He was always in the stars. Even if we were in the bank, he'd be drawing, or and I'd bump in and say, "Honey, I want to ask you a question." Oh, He was always in the stars. He was always in, he was with the muses all the time.
Mm.
He was, and when we were home, John was creating. He was either painting, drawing, and he would always have some media on. He loved media. He was the smartest guy. He loved any kind of electronics, and he was so smart. Our guru, Swami Satchitananda, and John invented Skype before we had Skype.
Really?
We had Skype all the way to Virginia with Swamiji way before we had Skype. They figured out how we could see each other all the way to Virginia on our TVs way before Skype was invented. John had helicopters flying through our house. He had a robot that brought me breakfast in bed with coffee on the tray. He was so, he could figure out things, anything black with batteries. He could figure it out. He was a genius. John Stewart was a genius.
He was a Renaissance man.
He was a Renaissance man, complete Renaissance man. He didn't know how to screw in a light bulb, but he could figure out Skype. He probably knew it. Oh, yeah.
Albert Einstein.
And the funniest man in the world.
So.
And he was so funny. I mean, he could make you, we were laughing all the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Rick, I'm sorry, did you have a question?
No, I'm fine. Just listening to Buffy
all
right. Is fine.
All right, well, so, Rick, thank you so much for calling, and we
you,
appreciate it.
No, Buffy and Joanne, thank you, and thank you, Buffy. You're so unbelievably overwhelming, let's say that, that I, you know, I'm very grateful for that, that's all. And how do you buy your album anyway, or your CD?
They're all on
How can
Amazon.
I get it?
And, well, thank you. Thank you, Rick.
Well, thanks for calling, Rick. We'll talk to you
thanks.
Real soon, okay?
Okay, I'll talk to you later. Take care.
All right, take
of you.
Care.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Bye, yep, ciao for now. Oh, Rick, Rick's like our new best friend. He's a sweetheart, isn't he?
He is. He's so sweet. Yeah, and he's huge. He loves John.
Yeah, well, Rick,
so
I don't know. Have you heard Rick's songwriting? I mean, it's phenomenal.
I know. He's a great songwriter himself.
And he
I
think
he said that John, you know, really inspired him.
Right.
Inspired
I was going to say that. Yeah, he said John is an influence on him for sure.
And so many others as well. I mean, it's so great to hear from people on Facebook and how John has inspired them. And without John as their inspiration, I mean, it's just so wonderful to hear all this.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's just really, it's such a thrill for me to hear.
And it's so nice to know that, you know, he touched so many people, too. I got to ask you about Once in a Lifetime with Roseanne Cash. How did that come about, the two of you guys?
Well, I was doing the record, and John, you know, and Roseanne were friends for a long time. And the first time I met Rose, she came to Malibu, and I was scared to death to meet Roseanne the first time. And John said, honey, make your great guacamole. And so I made the guacamole, and it was just the most horrible guacamole I'd ever made because I was just so nervous
because Roseanne
was at our house, right? And John said, God, he elbowed me and said, God, what did you do to this guacamole? And I oh, my God, I'll go make another batch. So I did, and I made a really good batch, and we had guacamole and chips and sat out on the point. We lived on the ocean, and it was really great. And then we all went inside, and we all sang, and it was so great meeting her. And I was just in awe because I'd never met her. And John, of course, had met John in New York, and then we became friends. And I met Roseanne before we were in New York, and we were invited to her wedding. And when she married John Leventhal, and then so in passing, and she did her book, and she mentioned John in her book as her musical mentor. And I went to some, every time I was in the audience, she would invite me up on stage with her to sit when she was signing books. And so, you know, when I did my album, I invited her, I asked her if she would sing. And she said, I'd love to, Buffy. That would be great. What an honor it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave her a list of the songs. I sang the songs, and she said, oh, I just, these are great. And so I was just so lucky and honored to have Roseanne sing on my songs.
Absolutely. Well, believe it or not, I have another call before the song. So you want to take another caller?
Sure.
Hang on one moment. Hey, welcome to Applause Radio Show. You're on with Buffy Ford Stewart. Do you have a question? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
I was just calling to let you know that the audio, I hear you on the call-in, but we lost the audio on the internet. Or I did, anyway.
I don't know.
I'm just,
I don't
just,
know
just letting you know that. No,
well,
I don't either. Anyway, I can hear you. Okay, well, anyway, Buffy's incredible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We're live on the air. I don't know what happened to his internet. But anyway, we were going to play Once in a Lifetime. This is Buffy Stewart and Roseanne Cash. Hang on, folks.
Nobody here to kiss me goodnight. Nobody here to tuck me in at night. Nobody here to love me through the night.
What album is that from?
That's from Same Old Heart.
Nice. I love that one, too. Oh, that one I like a lot. You guys sound great together.
I know. We really do. And then Roseanne did a lot of special tributes with us in New York, and that was really great. So,
yeah
Roseanne
great.
Has become a really, really great friend, and
I just
adore
great.
Her.
I'm a fan. She's great.
Yeah.
She's great.
Now, she's a wonderful person.
I wanted to ask you now, with obviously no one's performing anywhere, if there wasn't a pandemic going on, would you be performing or just writing still, or are you both?
Well, I am writing. I'm writing a couple of books. I've written a children's book, The Blanket and the Bear, which Roseanne gave me a beautiful review on the back.
Oh, nice.
And the back of the book. Mm-hmm. And I'm writing a couple of books. Actually, I have a poetry book that's coming out, and I'm writing two books. One is just a book on John, and another one is a book on my life before John, with John, and after John.
Mm.
And then the other book is just a book on John and his life. When he was starting to get Alzheimer's, he knew he had it. And he said, honey, I want you to interview me. Write questions and just interview me before I lose my memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to write a book. And so I started, you know, I just would write questions and just ask him early in the morning when he was fresh. And if he felt like it, and if he could remember. And so I did that for like maybe 8 or 9 months. And so I have quite a bit of his life on tape and on book. I also have it all typed out. So it's, you know, it's emotional, and I really want to do that for John. And it's also scary because I called Roseanne and I said, you know, I want to do this book. And this was a few years ago, before John, while John was still alive, actually. And she said, you know, it's not easy to get a book deal, but I have a publisher. I'll give you her name. She's not, you know, she's kind of tough, but it's, you know, but I'll give you her number. So I called her, and she said, give me 50 good pages, and I might think about it. I got so scared. I just, you know, went back to the womb. I just, it was just, oh my God.
How are you writing two books at the same time? My goodness.
Well, I'm just focused on John, only what he has written, his life. And then mine is more emotional because I go back to my childhood and my life before John, and then my life with John, and then my life after John, what it's been like for me after him. And also I talk about my health challenges because, you know, John has written so many songs calling me his miracle girl, and because I am a miracle girl. I have lived through so many physical challenges, you know, 3 brain surgeries, and just completed a bunch of radiation on my brain. And I've had, you know, breast colon cancer. You know, my colon cancer guy told me to get things together, and I said, well, guess what? You get your things together. You're fired. This was like 15 years ago.
Wow.
And, you know, I've had 2 hip replacements, knee replacements. I've had everything.
Good for you.
And,
kicked
so I also want to talk about that because I want to inspire people and let them know that you don't have to give up,
right?
You know, just because you have a physical challenge. And it's about faith, and it's about mind over matter, and how important it is to keep that faith and to know that no matter what, you can rise above it. And it's all about mind over matter. And that is really what has kept me going. And I also meditate. You know, I meditate every day. Mm. I meditate twice a day. And I pray. And I think all of those things are very, very important when you're facing a physical challenge.
Yeah.
And also to send it out into the world for the world and for other people who are also facing challenges.
Right, right. Everybody, you know, you write, you may write it for yourself, but it everybody feels it. Who's going?
Yeah, I'm really not writing it for myself. I'm writing it for other people.
No, no. When you write your music, when you write it for yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It falls into other people's hearts because they can relate, and you know. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of John's songs, he dreamt. He actually woke up and said, "Honey, get a mic, quick. Get a microphone, get a tape recorder, something quick."
I laugh because that happens to me. That's what happens to me. I literally carry a little tape recorder with me. Well, now the phone, but that, you know, because you wake up with it in your head, you wake up with it, you go to bed with it. It's like, oh God, you know.
Yeah, and some of his greatest songs, he dreamt the entire song, and one of them I'd really like you to play, and that's Some Kind of Love.
Yeah, I wanted to play that one next if we could. You want to play it now?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'd love to play Daydream Believer, too.
Okay, and then I'll tell a story about Some Kind of Love afterwards. Yeah.
Sure, check it out, Some Kind of Love. This is you and John, or just you or John?
I think it's just me, and I think Shanna Morrison, my beautiful friend, Shanna, is singing it with me.
Cool, hang on, guys, Some Kind of Love.
Yeah.
Come on. That's the problem.
Some kind of love is like gold that is the hardest to hold, for it catches the eye of each thief passing by. Some kind of love is like gold, and some kind of love tears your heart. Oh, you knew it was wrong from the start. Oh, but try to explain. I'm off to a flame, and some kind of love tears your heart. Some kind of love, everyone's looking for some kind of love. Some kind of love, some kind of love, everyone's looking for some kind of love. On your feet, say that kind of love came too soon. And some kind of love starts as friends, and that kind of love never ends. For it comes forth as slow as a flowering snow. Some kind of love starts as friends. Some kind of love, some kind of love, everyone's looking for some kind of love. Some kind of love is like like gold. And that is the hardest to hold, for it catches the eye of each thief passing by. Some kind of love is like gold.
David Letterman, and he said, you know, I was watching Prairie Home Companion, and I heard this woman sing this song, and it just knocked my socks off. I don't know who wrote the song, but I had to have her come on the show tonight. So I thought, oh, this is interesting. I wonder what song that is. So the woman came on, got up, and started singing Some Kind of Love. I thought, what? So I got on the phone, I called David Letterman's show, and I said, my husband, John Stewart, wrote that song. You better go tell David Letterman right now. Well, I don't think they ever got to him that night, but I hope they did eventually. But, yeah, I mean, the song is so incredible because Kate Wolfe recorded that song, and a lot of people remember that song because of her singing it. And it's just the kind of song that just touches you because it touches every kind of emotion of love. I mean, love is a very crooked thing. I mean, it can break you. It can lift you. It can, you know, I mean, there's so many crooked things about love and wonderful things about love. And John touches on all those things. You know, some kind of love is like gold.
Nice.
Some kind of love comes too soon. And some kind of love, you know, it never dies. And that kind of love, you know, survives laughter and rage and the ages. And if you stick with it, boy, you know, it's not easy, but you can survive. And that is the kind of love I had with John, you know, and that's the kind of love that so many people can survive if you stick it out through laughter and rage.
Right. Nice.
Yeah.
What album is that on?
That's on both albums.
Oh, okay.
I put that on both albums, yeah.
And you said everybody could get your music on Amazon, right?
Yeah, you can. Oh. Both. Yeah, and I also have a Christmas album out. Buffy's Christmas album, yeah.
So it's Same Old Heart and Buffy's Christmas album? That's what's out there now?
An album called Same Old Heart, and there's an album that's called some kind of what is the other album called? I can't remember. I have two albums out of me just singing. One is called Same Old Heart, and the other is, what is the other album called? I can't remember. God.
Well, I'm sure when they put Buffy Stewart in Amazon.
And I also have a Christmas album.
Right.
And then, of course, albums with John. I have many albums with John. The Essential John and Buffy, and albums at the Turf and Scott. So, you know, if you just go to Amazon, you can find all kinds of records from John and from John and Buffy and Buffy Ford Stewart. And they're all there.
And when do you foresee the books being ready?
Probably in the new year.
Mm.
I was hoping for Christmas, but... I haven't been as disciplined as I should be. Yeah. With all that's going on in the world, you know, you just sort of find yourself watching movies and, you know.
Well,
yeah, because living in your pajamas. And,
yeah, sweats, yep, I know, yep. I know. Well, we're running short on time, so I would love to play Daydream Believer. And who's singing this with you? Who are you? Who is on this one with you?
Daisy and Peter Tork. And I think, well, you can't really hear Nancy Griffiths. At the last minute, I had her sing, but you can't really hear it. And I think I also have, who else is singing on this? Mickey, I think Mickey Dolan's joined in. I hope he was on it. Anyway, I think that's it.
Yeah. Cool. This is the version that should have really been said. Listen to the lyric. You'll hear the lyric change and compare.
Yeah,
to
it's the first time Davey ever sang funky. Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, he did it on stage for me. He did it on, and that's how this whole record opens.
Right. And the version that we've known has always been Oh How Happy I Can Be, and it's really Oh How Funky I Can Be. So check this out, Daydream Believer with Buffy and the Monkees and a few other folks. Here we go. Written by John Stewart.
7A.
What number is this, Chip?
7A.
Okay, not me. Don't get excited, man. It's because I'm short, I know.
Could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. But it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor's cold and it sings.
Great John Stewart tune, and I dedicate this to his beautiful, beautiful wife, Buffy Stewart over there. She came tonight to see me and to make sure I got the words right. I changed them a little bit. I'll put them back tonight.
Oh, I could hide neath the wings of a bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. Oh, but it rings and I rise. I rub the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor's old and it stings. On his steed. Well, now you know how funky I can be. And our good times start and end without dollar one to spend. But how much, baby, do we really need? Queen, cheer
queen.
Oh, I could hide 'neath the wings of a bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. But it rains and I rise. I rub the sleep out of my eyes. My shaving razor's old and it stings.
Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to us?
Sounds great. The two of you sound great together. In that.
Oh, it was so much fun. Davey was the most wonderful, wonderful person. And he died on my birthday.
Oh,
I'm a leap year baby. He died on leap year, of all things.
I know. Yeah. Well, Buffy, we only have 4 minutes left, so I wanted to just thank you so much for coming on and chatting. And letting us hear your beautiful music. I loved it. Thank you so much. And one quick question. Did you ever do any demos for John when he wrote his stuff?
Oh, a lot of demos. In fact, a lot of demos now are out of John's, which he would not be happy about. But, you know, he's in the stars. So people are hungry and thirsty for his music. And so a lot of his demos, in fact, one of his demos is I gave permission, Old Forgotten Altars, to be released. And it's us singing, gosh, in 1966 or 7, in the very beginning when we first met. And, you know, it's very sweet and very different than what we became as time went on.
Right.
But you know, and I'm sure John would just freak out and say, my God, you released that? But, you know, at this time in our lives, with what's going on, does it really matter?
Right.
I mean, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. I mean, I want the people to hear John, and it's all for the people. You know, it's not about ego. It's not about any of that anymore. We all have to let go of all that.
Right.
It's not about fame or ego or... No, it's about the music, and if it gives people happiness and it lifts them up, then let it be, you know, let it all be.
Excellent.
And,
well, thank you again for sharing all this beautiful music tonight. I really did
absolutely
enjoy it.
I give all my love to all the people out there right now, and I send my love, and I hope you're all staying healthy and safe. And I just want you to know how much I love all of you. And thank you, Joanne. I give all my love to you.
Oh, Buffy, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. You know that. And
it is. It's always fun to talk to you.
Yes, and I hope we talk together very soon. And if we don't, please have a very Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Joanne.
All right.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right, everybody. Buffy Ford Stewart, thank you so much for joining us on Applause Radio Show. Take care.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So long. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, boy. If you needed to just feel calm, that just did it for me. Anyway, thank you to Buffy Ford Stewart. Amazing, amazing. Thank you to our sponsors, the High Bar Bistro, Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video, Kitnesville, Pennsylvania, KW in South Africa, Teach for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions, Lenoka Harbor, New Jersey, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, The Observer Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, GenieBottles.com, Cloison Designs in New Jersey, and Think Big Picture in New York. Ah, God, our website's coming, guys. I'm hoping it's here Monday, so you'll see who's coming up. Still booking December because we're trying to do a Christmas theme for you. So we're not having much luck. So anyway, but we're going to have great people coming up. So anyway, thank you so much. Enjoy the week. Take care. Be kind to one another, folks. Bye-bye.